Welcome to Down Among the Donkeys, a podcast from the Donkey Sanctuary. In 13 episodes, we are telling the story behind the founding of one of the biggest equine charities in the world. Down Among the Donkeys by Dr. Elizabeth Svensson. Chapter 13, Up to Date. There is no end to the donkey's story. As long as there are donkeys in need, then our sanctuary will be here to help them. Plans for the hospital have been submitted, and despite the most skillful design and use of expensive local materials so that the building is in keeping with the environment, the local council have recommended refusal to the East Devon District Council. It seems ironic that the land we wish to build on was previously a caravan site, and that should we be farmers, we could erect a galvanised 5,000-square-foot barn with no permission. There is no doubt in my mind, however, that the hospital will become a reality. Something so badly needed is bound to win through eventually. The donkeys continue to arrive in large numbers, and I still learn from these delightful, intelligent creatures. Spider came in a short time ago, a delightful little colt foal, but only 4 months old and too young to have been separated from his mother. He was given to us by Mrs. Wilkinson from the Dartmoor Livestock Protection Society, who had rescued him from a Cornish market. He was so lonely on his arrival. I put in an elderly geriatric called Jenny with him for company. I had not realised the great affection that had sprung up between the two until one day I felt Spider needed a good gallop. I took them both from their special intensive care box and put them in the nursery field. Jenny stood quietly by the pond as Spider galloped about 30 yards one way, then back to see she was all right, then repeated the performance in the other direction. But on each return he pushed Jenny affectionately, pushing her nearer and nearer to the edge of the pond. I walked across and took Jenny's collar to draw her away from the edge, and to my surprise, dear little Spider rushed at me and did his best to deliver a kick at me in protection of his foster mother. We have recently had reports from our new inspectorate, now at work, that conditions in one market are falling below the standards of other markets in the country, and that there were 48 donkeys in a knacker's yard destined for slaughter. Beach operators, whose donkeys' only food was that foraged from the council's rubbish tip, have been moved off, and a farrier has been found for a severe case of overgrown hooves in the home counties. 2 donkeys were found to be unwanted and have now settled happily at the sanctuary. It seems so sad that in this day and age, there is still exploitation and cruelty to these friendly, four-legged creatures, creating the need for our inspectors. In many cases, it is a lack of knowledge of basic donkey requirements, and our inspectors are always pleased to give advice to donkey owners. The sanctuary is now working very closely with the Donkey Breed Society and the RSPCA on the welfare side, and this strengthens the position of all the charities. At the Slade Centre trustees' last meeting, it was unanimously decided that a second centre should be built. The children have really benefited so much, it seems a shame to restrict it to this area. Pat Feather and I will be shortly holding an evening meeting of heads of disabled schools and education officers in Somerset and Dorset, to make sure they are as keen as we are. Although finance will cause its usual problems, we can now show people how the finished product looks, and more important, works, and I'm sure we can raise the necessary finance. Office-wise, we now have to cope with an ever-growing mail and a none-too-gradual increase in paperwork. With over 740 donkeys taken into care, every donation is needed, and despite the initial cost, we have installed a computer to deal with the routine work. This means we can maintain our staff level and continue to work efficiently from our small office. Hopefully, the personal touch will not be lost, as so many regular donors have become very real friends, and we know that to some lonely elderly people, our news and letters of appreciation help to keep them going. Although it is sad, I would like the last donkey mentioned in my book to be Pinocchio. Only recently, Pinocchio, an apparently fit and healthy 8-year-old gelding, had a slight colic, pain in the stomach. The vet examined him and to his consternation found that he was having difficulty moving normally. The next day, I stood watching him with dismay. I have become used to seeing over 230 disabled children a week visit our Slade Centre, and many had exactly the same symptoms Pinocchio was displaying in his stable. He seemed to have forgotten how to move his legs in order to walk, had difficulty even getting his head into his food bucket, and had no idea how to arrange his body to lie down, going in endless, staggering circles, rather like a large dog, but unable to work out the mechanics of the actual movement. After 3 days of continuing deterioration, we had no option but to put him down. We were all determined, however, to find the cause of this terrible affliction he had received so suddenly. The vet arranged for his brain to go to a top veterinary neurologist in Cambridge, but during the post-mortem was astounded to find the donkey had died from a broken neck. He estimated from the round edges of the fracture that the actual break had occurred very early in life, and the pain of the colic and a sudden neck movement had displaced the vertebrae broken several years ago, giving the distressing symptoms. We were all deeply upset, but one night, sometime later, I found myself wide awake, comparing his actions with those of the disabled children. How many of these children with inexplicable problems had had a neck X-ray in case a similar injury had caused their symptoms? Could it be that during birth, particularly in emergency deliveries, the head had been forcibly turned to ease the shoulders out, injuring the neck? Many of the Slade children hold their heads at a strange angle. Could it be neck damage? All these thoughts have been passed on to the medical profession. It would be wonderful if a little donkey called Pinocchio could help explain the plight of even one stricken child. We have many critics, those who feel the money we spend on donkeys could be better spent on old people, on young people, on battered babies. The list is endless. All worthy causes, but my love is donkeys, and it is to them I wish my efforts to go. To me, they are the most beautiful, the most underrated animals in the world, and as long as they need my help, they shall have it.